Yes,
mansplain.
Ready? Okay, it's 5 o'clock. We'll call our work session to order. Bob, did you want to talk, give a quick overview on that before we get started?
Yeah, just really quickly, I don't know if you guys are interested, but you should be, in what we do with Canton Woods. And the specific reason for me chatting about it tonight is, Van, you know, we both contribute $66,950 every year, and it's a phenomenal buy, in my opinion, for those dollars. Van Buren elected to cut their contribution by $1,950, which is really a slap in the face and insult, in my opinion, to the Canton Woods facility. So what I prepared for you is background on that facility in terms of what the budget is, where the money comes from. I can tell you this, the contribution that both towns are given used to be $90,000. And the Onondaga County, that was in 2012, I think it was, Onondaga County came in and decided to contribute $45,000 to pay for specific services there. So that dropped us down in 2012 to the $66,950 where it stayed, which is, in my opinion, phenomenal because, in fact, let me give these out while I'm talking. They haven't asked for money. The budget, you know, obviously they're hit with inflation just like. I don't know if Jennifer needs you know, they haven't asked for any more money. There is a not-for-profit board. That's the board that I sit on as the representative from Lysander. Wendy Vandewater sits on it now from Van Buren, and before her, Howard Tupper sat on. For whatever reason, my observation of the, I hate to pick on our fellow town, but from 2014 on, that my observation, they've had a, I don't know what it is, for whatever reason, a critical eye towards Canton Woods, like, why are we spending that kind of money, and blah, 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 blah. Any of the shortfalls that happen every year in the range of $8,000 to $15,000 are made up by the 501c3 for various fundraising activities, golf tournaments, walks and runs, and just general donations, selling Christmas wreaths. And you know, and all I can tell you is just from my observation, just being on the board for the last 8 years, there's nothing else like this in Onondaga County. It's just a phenomenal service, and these are the folks that they're in, you know, some of them are in dire need, and it's their only form of socialization and recreation and just being taken care of. You know, one anecdote I can share with you, just to show you the level of commitment that they have for the folks that participate there. Nancy Sullivan, she runs one of the programs that are paid for by Onondaga County. All during COVID, when the facility was closed, she called every single member. Person that came to Canton Woods on a regular basis, she called them once a month. Hey, how you doing? Do you need anything? Are you okay? Do you need a ride somewhere? I mean, that kind of stuff. So the level of commitment is phenomenal. So I'm going to say something Thursday night, you know, for the record and for the public to hear, because, you know, I'm sold on the facility in terms of, and I hope you all are too, because it's just a phenomenal buy for the dollar. Oh, the one question, two questions come up. There is a couple of $100,000 in reserve funds that people have made donations over the years for specific purposes. I want this money. You know, they're just private individuals. I want this money to go to recreation. I want this money to buy books. I want this. And Van Buren said, boy, are you using that money for operating? You can't do that. That's so unethical. And at some point, that money's going to run out if you do that. And then what? And the second one was some folks said, well, how come? So it's a Baldwinsville government-owned facility. The employees there are Baldwinsville employees, and the, you know, the building is a Beeville entity. The Van Buren contributes the $66,950, and we do. Well, how come Baldwinsville's not contributing it? Well, they are, because every resident that lives in the village of Baldwinsville is a resident of Lysander or Van Buren, so they're paying. But in addition to that, I don't know if I included it there, but Baldwinsville doesn't come back and say, help us out when we replace the roof or replace the, fix the bathrooms, replace the fixtures in the bathrooms or paint the building or do that. They do all, they snow plow, you know, they repair the parking lot, they do all of that stuff. That was a thumbnail sketch of the Canton Woods Senior Center. And if you had any questions, either now or it's a left shoot.
So they haven't approved their budget yet.
No.
Van Buren, why don't we put some pressure on them publicly?
Yes, that's one of my intentions, and I can't tell you what to do, Jeff, but I am going to certainly do that Thursday night.
At their own board meeting.
Which is tomorrow night. What's his name? Charlie Lepreys. I don't know if you know him. He's one of the chiefs over at the fire department right here on off of River Road. What is that?
Belgium
Cold Springs. Yeah. He's the president of the 501c3. He's probably going to come to our board meeting Thursday night to just be there and offer his opinion on why the facility is why the organization is so spectacular. I know we're not threatening to cut our dollars. Did I tell you? The $66,950, thank you, Jennifer, she gave me this money. It's approximately for a house that's worth $200,000 to $250,000. It costs you about $8 a household to run that facility in your taxes. And the $1,950 cut will save you a whopping 33 cents or 35 cents on your tax bill. So it's just petty and absolutely insulting that Van Buren is even thinking of doing this, in my opinion.
Have you talked to anybody from the Van Buren board to see what their rationale was?
Yes. So, what's her name? Jennifer Gonzalez Sullivan, who I don't know. She's all concerned about that. I don't know if she voted for or against it. I think Wendy Vandewater was one of the ones that pushed this along. And what's her name? Saban is the supervisor. What's her
Mary
name?
Francis.
Mary Francis. I think she pushed it, and I don't. And they have tentatively approved to cut this money. That's all I know, Peter. I haven't spoken to anybody there. And I didn't know it was my place to without talking to you guys to see what you all thought.
Yeah. I'm for you speaking to them.
Well, you're on the board. I think you would be what your opinion is on there.
Yeah, I mean,
obviously we didn't lower our amount.
No.
So.
So, well, I will, I don't know how this happened. Oh, and Dick Clark called me today, absolutely. He doesn't call you, but he called me on this one. So, you know, he's absolutely fit to be tied on this thing. Like, it's like insulting. It's like you're not gaining anything. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? $1,950. So.
Well, I mean, what... are we comfortable adding $2,000 to our budget to cover their shortfall?
Oh, that would be.
Then when's it end, though?
You no, I know. No, I'm just asking.
Then you open
you know, if they come back and say no.
And for what it's worth, 65%, I think it's 65, it's well over 50, but it's over 60, of the people who participate in Canton Woods, guess where they live?
Van Buren.
Right, because it's on that side of the river, it's easy to get to. And
so it's not that we don't have. How come you're serving out of folks who don't live in the town that can go there? And the answer is, yeah, but we charge them. They have to pay a fee to use that facility. It's like.
But they use our parks and they use.
Yeah.
Some things you just do.
You
because
just
it's,
do.
It's for the good of the community overall.
Right.
Well, and for the 33 cents per household, that's a ridiculous thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fact that for 11 years, none of us have contributed any more dollars. It's remained the same. Whereas Canton Woods' budget, yeah, they are really frugal with how they spend money, but their costs are going up just like everybody else.
Right. So,
and what you got in front of you, I think, really explains the budget of that facility. You know, $225,000 next year. So, okay. So let me know if you got any questions at some point or suggestions. But that's where we stand. I thank you very much, Bob, for the opportunity.
Okay, let's talk about the highway. I'll just start asking questions, or however you want to do it. I'm just going to start off with. You know, I gave Ken the opportunity to come in and work this budget out with me early on, and he chose to do it himself, which, you know, that's his prerogative. But in my opinion, I think that this is a more than a fair budget as far as the dollar amounts, so I won't be in favor of raising it one penny. Now, if you want to move some money around, you want to take it out of one line item and move it to another, okay. But as far as the dollar amount, I'm not in favor of raising the dollar amount at all. So,
So, I mean, I'm just getting asked, with the costs that have increased on the highway's end, fuel, other, you know, road services, salt, we're going to do less, is what
you're
proposing.
Yeah, what would you do if you were, everything, everybody that's paying taxes into this, if they make, we'll say $50,000 a year, everything's gone up for them, $400 a month or more for groceries. I went to the grocery store the other day, bought a cart full of stuff, it cost me $300, I couldn't believe it. Gas is up, people are getting laid off. Inflation, if you take in all the household items that people pay, it's not 8%, it's more like 18%. So all of their costs have gone up. What do they have to do? Well, they have to buy less, they have to do less. And if you listen to economists, that's what they say government should do. They should retract. So when you have high inflation, high cost on things, you do less, just like everybody does with their home finances. Why should we be any different?
Oh, I'm just asking, so when do we catch up and do more?
When the economy gets better.
So just, I didn't want to cut you off, but that's what's fine. Are we talking about a $276,000 and change increase?
What's that?
The bottom line numbers, we're still talking about an increase in the budget of $276,000, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I don't know, does that really mean we're doing less? Or is that just kind of, are we just basically holding on to what we did kind of in a way this year? Or are we actually going to do less? It seems like, I mean, I'm not saying $300,000 is an insignificant amount of money. It seems pretty significant to me, but what is it? That's got to buy us something.
Right. So at the beginning of the year, it was $84 in place. This is just blacktop. And we just paid $100. Actually, the index went down, so it was like 98, something like that. But so that was just the increase in the blacktop.
Right, but what's the 200? I mean, I'm just ignorant here. What's the 275 going to do for you? How is that being applied?
Well, we need equipment. I don't know if we were going to go through this line by line.
Well, whatever you want.
Okay. So start out with.
You got to explain to them what budget you're looking at as opposed to what budget they're looking at.
Okay.
Because most of us are looking at what Supervisor Wicks has. I don't know if anybody printed yours out to compare what you had as to what he had.
But with this budget of 2023, we're still down 9%.
We're down, no, more than
that. The changes, just at the highway, is
They're paying, no. A household will pay more. A household's going to pay more because you're looking at their assessments went up. Their assessment, so I'll give you an example. 2022, house was assessed at 250. Today it's going to be assessed at 282 this coming year. All right? So they paid 250 last year. They're going to pay 283. Where is it? Okay. Yeah.
But the tax rate hasn't stayed this.
No. But the dollar amount went up.
Right.
The dollar amount went up, but the tax rate went down. That's because they got a 14.2% increase in the assessments, but the tax rate only went down 10.69%. So they're still paying 4% more. So the overall rate that they're going to be paying more than they did last year because their house is assessed that.
Right.
It went up 14%.
You're going to pay more in total taxes.
The tax rate is down, but the dollar amount is up.
Yeah.
And
I just wanted to know that for the beginning of this conversation, that's all. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
And we're also appropriating $170,000 more in fund balance.
Exactly. It's $170,000 more. Now, so a house last year that was assessed for $250,000, this coming year will be assessed at $282,500. All right. So last year they paid $325.75. This year they're going to be paying $333.44. That's an increase, a 2.4% increase of $7.69 for that. Now, if you use that same household where the budget I proposed, a 7.69% increase, the budget that Ken proposed, you would go from them paying $325.75 last year to $539.66 this year for a $213.91 increase. That's a 65.7% increase over last year.
What I'd like to say is I was led to believe get the budget that would bring the highway up to everything it needs, total analysis, and then from there we would negotiate. If
who told you that?
That's the way I had approached the budget.
Okay, but who told you that? That's why I asked you to come in and we could work it out, because I would have told you how the budget process went, because have you ever done a municipal budget before?
No, I have not.
Okay. Do you have any accounting background or anything like that, or any?
No.
Okay. That's why I proposed to you that if you came in, we could work through this, you, Jen, and I, and you said you were going to. So now you put, where is your, you have a responsibility to take care of the highways,
yes.
Right? Okay, but you also have a responsibility to the citizens to, as far as your fiduciary responsibility, it's twofold. So you're doing the highways, but where are you meeting your fiduciary responsibilities when you're talking about a 65.7% increase, a one-year increase, when last year you received, the last 2 years, well, I'm just saying last year, but the highway received more money in the last 2 years than they ever received. And you received, were the beneficiary of more money than any highway superintendent has ever gotten. And you're asking for a 65.7% increase with a 23% increase on your salary. I mean, that to me, especially when all the things I just said, when you have... the public is paying out, you know, just outrageous amounts. Some people, especially hurts people on the lower income scale. So you take people that are working paycheck to paycheck, and this is where I go back to your question. If you're working paycheck to paycheck, and they're not getting raised, so they're bringing home $300 a week, but now their groceries went up 50%. So instead of paying $100 a week, they're paying $150. Where are they supposed to get the money? They have to retract their spending. They have to pull back. That's what government has to do. Government has to pull back during times of recession, during times of high inflation. That's what we should be doing to be responsible to the community. I mean, economists will tell you that. I quoted an economist the other day when I said that.
Right, but if you went with Ken saying that's the ideal highway budget and this is where you are, why don't we work on where we need to be? I mean, this has been an argument, I don't know, since I've been coming to meetings of, you know, if you have so many miles of roads, I mean, it's great to sit there and say, you know, we can't afford to spend it, but I haven't seen the years where we've tried to get to where we need to spend.
The last 2 years, Kevin, haven't you been watching?
Yes.
The last 2 years.
We got grants. When
well,
you say mean? When you say we've spent more than we have
yeah.
on the highway, we didn't budget more.
No. We did budget more. No. We did budget more. I got it right here. We did budget more. Your information is wrong.
Okay. Then why did we quit?
Well, hold on. Let me put it out. You said we haven't done it.
We haven't put money into the highway reserve equipment account in 3 years.
because we've been using it to try and balance this stuff in the last 2 years. COVID came along. How were we supposed to know COVID was going to come along? How were we supposed to know some of these other things were coming along? We did, but wait a minute here. Where's that? For some reason, I can't find it. Okay, here it is right here. You said we haven't put anything in the highway fund, right? 2020, it was 4732. 2021, it was, not 47, $4,732,000 and change. 2021, it was $5,147,000. This year,
what you budgeted, that's 2021. Or what we spent?
That was budgeted. That was budgeted. And then 2022, $5,353,000. So when you say we haven't put more money into it, we put money into it every year. Every year we put that I've been on the board, that this current board has been on here. And then in 2021 and 2022, we also got $468,000 additional monies that went right back to the highway. So on top of that, you got more money. You got another almost $500,000. So our roads can't be in that bad a condition. They cannot be. And in the last 2 years, we're on to our fourth trucks in the last 3 years. We bought a brand new roadside mower. All the like 250s and 150s, we've been replacing them every year for the last couple of years. We've been buying equipment, but you can't. You, if you have 20 years, like you said, or 10 years, whatever, however long you've been looking at it, you can't make everything up in 1 or 2 years. It takes you time to do that. And especially when you have, these are unusual times. We haven't had inflation like this in 30 years, 40 years. This is the highest inflation it's been since the 70s. And now, right. So people are out there struggling.
Let's go to line DB05130. Let's start with Mr. Wicks's number on his budget, and then I'll read
what line again?
What I have
05130.
401.
Machinery. So,
401 is parts.
Because we were talking about
what we're talking about.
Parts? Because we were talking about the truck.
The parts line, Ken.
Yes.
Okay.
We do have newer trucks. However, we have or will have five trucks. I just want to read you the facts of this. Okay. So if we're currently going to wait for 2 years to get a truck, to answer your question, Bob, one of the areas that the money could go to was getting two trucks instead of one. We will have the new trucks. However, that gives us five older ones. Truck three will be 31 years old. Truck one will be 15 years old. Truck 11 would be 14 years old. Truck nine, which I'm taking off the table because that's already been decided that it has to go, it's cost too much. And truck eight will be 19 years old. So the costs already for these trucks, truck one, which is a 2013 is not that old, $52,509. Truck 11, which is a 2012, is $99,718. I have no idea how a truck gets or is allowed to have that much.
Over how many years? It.
Well, we've had it since 2012, so it's been 10 years.
Okay, so $9,000 a year. $10,000 a year. Correct. Okay.
Right. And then the 29 has been 68,000.
Okay, and
so part of the money was to encumber the 275 would cover another truck for 2025, so that we could stagger getting the new trucks to get rid of some of these that are costing us quite a bit of money just to have ready to go.
Maybe I'm confused, Ken, and maybe looks like we're going to spend $375,000 on buying new equipment next year. As, and that's up from $311,000 this year. We spent $225,000, $224,000 in 2021. So we're going to spend $64,000 on new equipment. In terms of repairs, the actual for 2021, I don't know how 2022 is shaking out, but you spent $69,000 in repairs in 2021, and we budgeted 70, but we budgeted 60 this current year. I don't know how your repair budget is doing. It's probably one of the ones, and I don't want, maybe I shouldn't say this, but when you got to fix something, you got to fix it, and that's what a contingency account sometimes comes into handy for, or you find the money elsewhere in your budget. But, and then as far as parts, I'm looking at the budget here. We spent $33,000 last year in actual, and we budgeted 55. We budgeted 60 for 23, so it's an increase of 5,000 over last year. So I'm just asking you, what are you buying for $375,000? You're saying that's not enough money, it's only one truck or something? But as far as repairs and parts, it looks like you got enough money, even with your older equipment. Am I seeing this wrong?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So this is the truck replacement that Mr. Wicks was talking about. For 2020, for the 2023, it's already been okayed to purchase an equipment total of $420,000. So I'm not asking for anything.
So you're saying we're shy $50,000 then. Even though we okayed spending $425,000, you only got $375,000 in the budget? Is that what you're saying?
Well, we have to show for that for 2023 if it's coming out of 2023's budget. That truck's not here yet, right?
So this would be the expenses for that truck unless you deplete the vehicle fleet fund balance, the restricted amount, and less than that. So basically, if that money's left whole, what can happen every year, because the plows take so long to come in, is that the plow that's coming in 2023 will be paid with the 2023 budget, but he'll be able to order the plow for the following year, and that will be held with the reserve account.
Mm-hmm. So but you got to have the money in the reserve account.
No, right.
In order to do that.
We got
to
encumber.
So that's the idea of that flow.
So I was on at the last meeting that it was encumbering. The money was going to be encumbered. That's not the way.
It's encumbered in the reserve right now. So if it is paid for.
Do you know what she means by that, though?
2023 budget, the reserve can stay whole for you then to order for 2024. If that does not happen, can't order for 2024. Do you know what I'm saying?
Because there's no money there.
Yeah, there would be no money reserved anymore.
When you encumber it, it's already spent. So if there's 300 something in there, and you order something for 300,000, so you're encumbered 300. All you got is 11,000.
Right.
So if there's only 11,000 in there, you cannot order anything else on top of it. This way, by keeping it in there, we can continue to order a year in advance. So next year when we get up, we'll order it so it comes in the following year. And we've been we've been getting a truck every year, and that's what we're going to continue to do. But you can't, if you try to order two trucks, it's not going to work.
Because we deplete that fund.
Right, I understand, but we're not getting a truck every year. We're waiting 2 years to get a
vehicle.
No,
that's not true. That's not true. You're ordering it now, but this truck you're getting now was actually, we just ordered a truck, right?
Right, which will be here in 2 years. That's what I'm trying to say. It's going
to
be
slated to early 2018 months,
okay.
Right?
You can't talk during the meeting, okay?
Oh,
it isn't an open meeting. No, I understand what you're saying, but it hasn't been, we've been getting it, if we ordered it in the spring, we've been getting it, like we got our truck now, right? We ordered it last year, we got it this year. We got it in.
And Ken, the money doesn't really change anything with the calendar in terms of how long it takes to get a truck. As soon as this budget passes, correct me if I'm wrong, Jennifer, he can go out and order another truck.
January 1st.
Yeah, January 1st.
Right.
So it may take 2 years to get it, but that's That's a kind of a logistical issue that, holy shit, it's happening to, excuse me for tape, but it's happening on in the world. But that the budget has nothing to do with that. You ordered a truck for $374,000. You can order another truck on January 2nd. And so there will always be a truck ordered.
Okay.
And then next year, hopefully, we'll do the same thing. We'll continue to do this. So you're getting a truck every year. We can't give you two trucks a year because we just, that money doesn't exist.
Okay.
I hope that makes sense. But
all right.
And then as far as the repairs and parts,
that's the main
maybe it's not enough money, but
you
seem to have been able to handle things over the last two or three.
Yeah.
Actually, you've handled it every year. You've never run a shortfall in those accounts.
I've never ran these accounts, Bob.
Not you, the highway department.
Right. Well, I mean, there's been budget transfers to make the accounts whole.
And that's normal. But just look at the actuals. I mean, that's what Jennifer has done here. She's given us actuals. Those are the real numbers of what we spent. In 2020, we spent $35,000 in parts. Last year, we spent $33,000. It was less.
Right. Do you know where we're at this year, actually, up to this point, or no?
Well, she can only give you with the stuff that she has, and I'm sure they probably got some stuff over there. Alicia's been out.
Right.
So forgive my paperwork and lack of... I'm not doing too bad, actually.
Yeah, no, it's good.
I'm learning. So along with, just about the parts is the availability. Well, again, we're just adding in what is currently happening and how the supply chain works.
If you had $2 million in parts and the supply chain said you couldn't have the parts, it doesn't do you any good to have that $2 million. I mean, the supply chain is completely irrelevant to the dollar.
So along with the trucks, the equipment. Okay, so the equipment is, find my DVD here. I bring this up because there was a question of buying a mini excavator.
Right.
Which is
forgive me while you're searching, but the $375,000 that's projected tentatively, what does that buy you? That buys you one snowplow and money left over?
You actually have the detail on what that includes.
Okay.
Last page. So it's up for...
How come I don't have a last page?
It was at the first meeting.
First page?
No, it was our first meeting generating them out.
Oh, here it is, right here. Okay. This sheet, Jim?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
This one.
Yes. So
you got a lawnmower, a lift, an asphalt roller, and a new truck.
Right. We'll go down the list here. The new mowers are already bought and paid for.
So you
didn't think we were going to get that, but we did.
Okay. See, you don't need that. You don't have any money in there.
There's nothing in there.
There's nothing in there.
Right.
Okay.
The payment on the 2021, those did get switched, so we still have that payment. The 2023, that is, I guess I can order it October 23rd and 24th. And then I can order November 7th, hopefully getting on the numbers soon enough to get a truck ordered and being produced.
And that was on which one?
That's on
the 2023 Ford
1-ton.
That's on the 1-ton with the lift, right.
Okay.
120, but on your, you even said here it's currently not being produced.
Right, that's what I said.
Ordered it.
Right, I can order on the 24th, and No, I can work on the paperwork with Matt on the 23rd and 24th, and I can order the truck on November 7th.
With what, $2,022 dollars, and then you don't need the 85? I'm confused. This is 23 money. How are you going to order it this year? Or are you using last year's, current year's money to order it?
Do we have funds from this year available still?
Because you can't enter into a contract unless the funds are available. You can't sign any contracts unless you have the money.
Okay. So we're... So I understand. The mini excavator.
Well, so you're not going to order the pickup truck?
I guess I just learned that I wasn't, no. Or that I'm not.
I mean, there's no money there, right?
There is some money left in the reserve, because the reserve is at like 340, and the plow that was ordered is around 250. So there's a little play
Yeah, we could do that.
But then also we need a mechanism to in fact pay when it comes in.
Absolutely.
So that would be an addition, if you wanted to leave the reserve whole, that would be an addition to the 2023 budget. And then it would change the tax rate accordingly, if you want to leave the reserve whole.
Mm-hmm. If we want to add the whatever we spend back in. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
So we'll need a mechanism to then pay for it.
Yeah. I thought we already, isn't this it right here? We added that into their money right there, that $75,000.
I have, the things that I have were a one ton,
yep.
Right, lift. The money is in there. There's $85,000 in the 2023 budget for a one ton lift.
Right.
And then a plow, and then $40,000 for a four ton dual steel drum asphalt roller. So those are the three pieces of equipment that were approved as part of supervisor.
Right, but do we have money in 2022 budget left over to purchase this 2023? I thought you said we have some money to play with.
There's money in the reserve.
In the reserve. Yeah.
So why can't?
So we could transfer that over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just
what you're saying is, if we take it out of the reserve,
then you wouldn't be able to.
Then we can't.
You got to be careful on what you order.
Yeah, right, right.
If we're using the reserve,
the next truck.
I think there's a solution here. Tell me, Jennifer, I defer to you on this one. Take the 85 today out of the reserve, or tell Ken that he can order the truck in October, whatever that date was. We put the 85 in the 23 budget. It goes back into the reserve. It's not for another dump truck. That we pay the reserve back in 23. Maybe you have to follow what I'm saying?
So he could order today if you guys passed a resolution allowing that, right?
Yep.
And then there is $85,000 in there, so nothing would change in the 2023
budget.
Right,
exactly.
And then the reserve next year when it comes in, we pay it, will remain whole.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're saying because we budgeted for it in 2023, everything's still whole.
Exactly.
Yes.
But there was another piece of equipment you were
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So is it written somewhere that on any of the paperwork you guys have about the what the equipment was okayed? Because I don't have that.
This okay?
No. You got the equipment line. How much money you had in that in the line? How much we?
I will get you a copy of what they have, Ken. I think it was given to you as part of your budget, but.
But what's that other piece of equipment, too, you were talking about?
There was a different piece of equipment. That's really
excavator?
What's, that's what's throwing in. Yes, it's the excavator that's throwing the monkey wrench in.
So
and the trailer to that.
So what's confusing me is the already agreed upon
that
payments.
Okay. That was a five-year plan that Supervisor Wicks made.
Okay.
That's not...
It's not
the board never voted on it.
Okay,
that's where you're...
It's just that's a plan, and plans change.
Right. That was just a guide that they made up
in 2021. Things were different.
Right.
Yeah.
But
so that's what he was hoping. and where we're at.
Okay, because
you know, that's why it had two trucks next year. Obviously, I don't think the board's comfortable in moving to that plan. So,
in this budget, with the money that you have allocated, you got $259,983 for a 6x4 dump truck with a plow. You got $75,000 for the 23. I don't know where the 85 came from because I got 75.
I have 249.
I got 249.
I don't have 259.
Not 250, but you're coming to the same numbers.
It's 249. So,
yeah.
You're off by 10 and over. It's, you know, under and over. It's even.
We did
85,000
just to have playing.
Oh, we did do that. Okay.
Of the steel, the roller,
yeah.
If prices increase,
sure.
You know what? I didn't mark it online.
And we always have the reserve. There's money left in the reserve, so if something does come in, cost went up 10% or something.
We just wanted to make sure there's nothing worse than saying, "Oh, you're going to get a truck."
Before you try to convince us to buy you an excavator, Ken, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. We haven't passed the resolution, but I think what you're hearing is we're going to pass, entertain a resolution at maybe the next board meeting tomorrow, Thursday night, to allow you to buy a Ford one-ton with lift for $85,000. And then Jennifer and Bob, the supervisor, will make sure that we don't spend it again next year, even though we're going to budget for it, okay? So you're going to get your pickup truck, all right? So you're going to get a $250,000 dump truck, a pickup truck this year, and I guess you need a roller for $40,000. But that's all you're getting so far.
Well, there's also money in there that he was looking to buy a trailer and a mini excavator. And when Ken and I had the conversation, Ken said, well, it would be nice to have one. And what I said to Ken was, nice to have and need to have are two different things. Because I think you told me you rented a mini excavator for the whole summer for $7,000, right?
It was $2,800 a month, yes.
Okay, $2,800 a month. So you could rent it for 3 months, be around $7,000, and you don't have to spend $115,000. And when it's nice to have and need to have, you still meet your need by renting it for $2,800, and we put that in the budget. That was all.
And we upped it even a little more than that, actually. So
right.
The rental budget actually increases in this budget by $11,000.
Right,
so
and that $11,000 will cover the mini excavator for the year. Now, at $115,000, you look at that $7,000, you could go 17 years renting something and don't have to worry about it, don't have to house it or anything.
No repairs, no nothing.
No repairs, no nothing.
And a machine that we're paying to rent that's not doing anything for the 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, are there other uses other than the summertime?
The rent, well, sure, the rental, if we owned the Mini, we could rent some of the things that we need, like a road widener to back up West Entry.
Right, but then you'd have to have $115,000. And now you're adding that $115,000 onto your rental stuff, that we don't have the money to buy a piece of equipment for $115,000.
First of all, what I would prefer the mini excavator and the trailer over the truck and the roller.
Okay. So the truck is what, 85?
Roller's 40.
So that's
125. A resolution for you to order a truck.
Yeah,
you're saying you wouldn't want to rent a piece of equipment for a whole year for $25,000, and you would rather own it if you can rent it without worrying about it.
No, it's not $25,000. It's about $9,000.
No, he wants it. You want it for how many months? 10.
You would need
9?
It for the year.
12 months.
See, the benefit to it is when we have events like Farnham Road. And we have two sites that are that need a hole on the back. It took Joe, I was talking to Joe about this today, there was a power line down on Dog Harbor Road. Normally the only thing we have for that is the backhoe. However, because we had the Mini on the trailer ready, it was a matter of 20 minutes getting there to assist Niagara Mohawk and everything buttoned up and gone. Whereas if we would have drove the old backhoe out there, it may have been 35, 40 minutes before they got there, along with the fuel consumption and everything that goes along in driving that far away.
But you could still get it done.
We could still get it done, yes, but there would be live wires on the ground for a long period of time, and in that instance, people without power.
So the what you're trading off is the one ton with the lift and the roller. Is the roller something you could rent that you wouldn't need kicking around for 10 months?
Yes, that is.
So that would be.
I have on here that the rental for the roller would be the other option, or the other option with money's going toward the excavator and the trailer.
If you'd rather have, you're taking the roller and the one ton truck, and you said we had 85 for that.
85 and 40.
85 and 40, that's 125. Mm-hmm. So if you want to swap that for the mini excavator and the trailer, we'll take those two off and put those two on. I don't have a problem with that. It's the same money.
That's what I thought we were doing tonight.
We are.
We're good.
So that's going to reduce the budget line.
It comes in at 113 for the trailer and the excavator. So it's
right. So it's less $12,000.
Right.
Now, maybe move that to rental in case he needs a roller or whatever. I mean, it
could do that.
I don't know what else he's looking at changing.
An extra $11,000 in rental.
Right. You had already increased it.
Right. Okay. It's already up to 26.
Right. And that would save, let's say you rented it all 3 months. You were estimating the $11,000 for that.
Is micromanage the department. And I'm sitting here kind of like befuddled because I just want to hear from you that the excavator is more important than your one-ton Ford truck, because I don't know what that one-ton truck does. And you're telling me 12 months out of the year that excavator is the piece of equipment that's going to get used over and over and over again. Versus, like, if I'm a homeowner, which I am, I'm thinking, Jesus, how much can you rent an excavator for? $1,200 a month?
28.
Right. Do you really need it 12 months? Maybe. Why don't you just rent it for 10 months and spend, you know, $28,000, and you don't have to worry about it? But if you're saying you need it every single day and it's the most important, then fine.
That's not what I'm saying, Bob. What I'm saying is that if we owned it, we wouldn't have to worry about there not being one when.
Oh, so sometimes when you rent it, when you want to rent it, it's not there, is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
Those numbers are also.
Can you do a long-term rental? You go there and say, I'm going to rent this thing for 10 months. Here's the money.
I talked to Todd. I was going to see him, Todd from Admar. I was going to see him tomorrow to ask him that. They are no longer doing, they used to do rent to own. That project has been scrapped because they don't have enough to rent, and they're having such success selling them that.
Well,
any idea on how long, if you do buy it, how long it would take to get?
If you rent, hold on, if you rent that excavator and you rent the roller, you could probably have still enough money in the budget to buy the truck.
Yeah. For one more year.
They do.
I don't understand.
I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of options that you can attack this with.
But I was just throwing the ideas. It's not my decision. I mean,
right.
Rent to own or.
So from a budgeting standpoint, can we agree that we're going to leave the $125,000 here and you make a decision on how we spend it? And if we need to transfer some to rental because that's the decision you make, then we do a budget transfer. But the bottom line is we're in this particular budget, we're putting $125,000 right there. If you don't want the asphalt roller, well, you come up with a plan and tell us, I want the excavator with the trailer. But from our point of view, if it's in this budget and that number works for us, can't we just do that?
Works for me.
Like number, if you got whatever the bottom line number is in there, you know what?
I think traditionally you guys have approved high-priced equipment by the piece of equipment.
Right.
And that is
right.
How the county does it as well. So, I mean, obviously any changes, just to be consistent with that, would be just to have it all buttoned up, a resolution from you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Or we could
do
it.
You know what I mean? This is the equipment
now
that we're approving.
We could
sure
do it now.
Absolutely.
We could do it tonight
or
as opposed to.
We could change it later on, too. But just to be
yeah
consistent and have that resolution.
But I think if that's what you want, let's do it tonight.
Equipment.
Or, you know, it's the same amount of money. Like I said, I don't care where you spend the money. I'm just opposed to adding more money. If you want to move the money around, okay.
Or perhaps maybe not decide tonight. As Pete says, keep the 125 there. We'll leave this room tonight with 125 there. But between Kevin and Jeff and you, maybe you guys should just talk. The highway committee. And over the next couple of days, this is the best plan. And then just tell
right
us what you want to buy.
Well, and we can, you know, you guys brought up some good suggestions about looking at renting, you know, and seeing what next year brings. We're not going to have equipment, or you know, and that might change the decision. Or you're 14 months out on buying one, so you're going to rent one next year anyway.
You know, thankfully there's one on the lot.
Yeah, right.
But
those are
well. So Ken,
yeah,
you're going to decide in the next couple of days.
Understood.
And but what the good news is, you got the 125. You can spend it the way you want.
So I have some questions about this, and this is the salaries. I don't understand, and you can explain this to me. When we're looking at this, the roster page, and I see a 2.5% increase in pay, but then I see a decrease in the pay of some people.
I can answer that.
Thank you.
I'll feel that.
All right, because it seems odd to me that you would be paying someone less.
She's looking at the Wix's budget.
In his department. So he has some new employees,
mm-hmm,
and per the union contract, new employees start out at a lower rate and progress to the higher rate.
Mm-hmm.
So this calculation is, I did it by person, meaning we put in on those newer employees what they are actually going to make throughout 2023 with the 2023 union approved contract rate. So
okay,
it's by person, and it's an exact calculation. Had we not had turnover and just had employees that have been there and were at the last step of the contract, that would not be the case.
That's where the difference is.
Yes.
Okay, so these are new employees taking over the positions of other employees. So
yes,
they've got
service
okay
bonus went down.
Got it. Okay, that makes
they
sense.
They started at a lower rate of pay.
I have a one question if we're talking about that. I see that there's no unemployment allocated. I thought one of the laborers from the park goes on unemployment.
That is my understanding, and that is not, I do not have.
It's in the general fund.
Okay.
Because it's the park employee. So it's,
yeah,
there's like $7,000 budgeted in the general fund.
Shouldn't we, maybe that's
executive
session.
Yeah.
Executive session.
Yes.
I budgeted the way that it has been in the past, but you guys
didn't
know.
Yeah. Right.
So,
Ken, are there other? I mean, obviously, there's other things. I understand that, but I mean, is there other items you really wanna talk about? I mean, I know you wanted to talk about secretary, or at least I thought you did.
So. Yes. A0501. That is on my online. So let me go to Mr. Rex's.
So she's a general fund?
She is a general fund. A what?
Correct. Highway Administration.
Okay, thank you.
0.
This is where Ken is budgeted as well.
Okay, so what is it? 01 what?
Page 8 of your roll up.
Oh, page 8?
Yeah. Right? Am I right?
It's just in front of Canton Woods.
Okay. Well, it's also right here.
Find Canton Woods, you open that up, and it's on.
Yeah, or in the detail.
Just quick, because the new hire isn't as much of an explanation. I have a new hire laborer on there. Basically, that is to get somebody young who will start from the ground up, not come in with any
notions that it's gonna be a cakewalk for them, and you know, pretty much it would be, like I said, somebody that we can train from the ground up.
What are you talking about? Where is that?
It's
111?
Oh, it's not?
It's
not in the budget.
It's not in the budget.
Okay.
It's not in.
You want to hire a laborer.
Okay, so it's not in there. Yes, I was actually very surprised when I got here that there aren't part-time laborers for the highway.
There are.
For the park.
No,
you got them in there.
There are. The budget on the part-time laborers for highway is basically the same as it's always been, with a 2.5% increase per the union contract. So highway has always been a roster type situation in the budget. So you have your two lines, your general repair line and then your snow removal line, and where your laborers live is in the snow removal line. The 2022 piece was like $19,250, and the 2023 is $19,729.
So they always live in snow removal year round.
So what I did, which is different from how David has done this in the past, is he would divide up each highway employee between the two and a percentage allocation.
Right.
That leads to more work in processing payroll and things like that. So what I did to get to the same percentage allocation is there are certain employees that would just be dedicated budgetarily and in the actuals to general repairs, and then certain employees who will just be dedicated to snow removal. And the percentages were almost exact without having to do the divide every year and switch their codes in the payroll system. So
right.
Same percentages, same money at the end, just a slightly different way.
The classification code comp-wise doesn't make a difference, and everything's good.
But you do have laborers.
Okay.
And if you would like to come in and please meet with
that?
Me, I will explain everything to you.
I promise. Like I said, the last 2 weeks I have been in a sea of paperwork and calls and on the job. So in snow removal, there's labor money.
Yes, in your part-time line. So what you're looking at in the budget now is we're just trying to make the accounting consistent.
Well, that's
right?
Not to hire one person. That's including all.
That's your pool of money.
Pool of money.
Right.
That's
you
not
have,
for
you
one.
You do have general repair laborers in here as well, just so you know. If you look at your part-time lines, which now end in 113, okay, so that means part-time. You have, in the snow removal, you have MEO and labor subdivision in there. So if we look at the total on the snow removal, last year it was $46,394. Now we're, again, turnover, things like that, we're at $44,429. And then in general repairs, there are laborer lines that total, that's your 113 line, and that's all laborers, because those are your part-time employees. It was $37,760 last year, and now this year it's $38,699. You're good with laborers.
Well, are you though, Ken? Because you're getting about $2,000 more in your staffing than you had this year. So what you've got is a current, your current state is what this budget says you have. But you're asking for an additional whole laborer?
Well, I'm asking for someone that will be there every day, I mean, part time. But so these people here though are on call. I could probably hire someone, you know, 30 hours a week for the whole year at that labor dollar amount.
Well, I don't know.
And how would you get your wingmen and things like that? That comes out of that as well.
Yeah. I'd have to see how much I could, I'd have to take a look at that.
I mean, I would encourage you to sit down with Jennifer so that she can explain to you where each of these dollars goes, and then if you think you need more money, it's kind of late in the game, which is why I wish you had met with these guys ahead of time.
But what would you do with them? What would you do with them? Just, you need someone that you want to train for the future? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, someone to bring up through the ranks.
Okay, but again, if times are different, when we're retracting on the overall fund, and we're retracting all the way across the board, now isn't the time to bring additional costs on just so that we have somebody for the future. I mean, you're not saying that you can't do what you're doing. I didn't hear you say that you can't do what you're doing without an additional laborer, but you want to train somebody for the future. Okay, well, that's great, but now isn't the year to do that.
Okay.
I mean, do you have retirements on the possible horizon, or do you have holes that you see coming? I mean, I so, you know, if
how
it's
would
getting...
You know, how would you know that, though? You don't know that until I've heard there's some people's names that keep going around, oh, I'm going to retire. I've been hearing that since I've been here, and that's 3 years. So until you know who's going to retire, you can't fill that position because now you're paying benefits and everything else like that. You can't, until you get those papers in, someone saying that they're leaving, and even then, you have to wait until they're actually out the door, because with civil service, I could put my papers in today and say I'm retiring next Friday, and come next Friday, I pull my papers. Now I'm done. Now you hired that other person.
Right. No, I understand that. But part of this money would be coming from the part-timers you call in. So this isn't a whole new position. You would be using that. I would assume you'd be using this person to sit and ride wing all year. So some of that money's already being budgeted. It's not like a whole new position. And my question is, do you have a hard time getting all, you know, 9 plow routes out? Do you have, you know, do you have those issues where this would address that?
Yes.
And
the first answer.
Well, the labor doesn't address getting plows out because he's not an MEO.
Right.
But if you got,
if you don't have a,
if you're short and you got 2 MEOs and there's one less truck on the road.
Right.
Well, you just threw out, you know, 3 names that we're going to put on the
right thing. Yes. And I know of, so John Gilbert has told me he is going to retire in April. Like you said, that may not be the case. He may change his mind. But as far as an immediate hole, Kev, that is one. And then there's others.
I mean,
that
yep.
I don't know when.
The other part of this is, you know, I believe the laborers come and take care of town hall and, you know, plow, shovel, that kind of stuff with the smaller equipment. I've been pretty unimpressed with when I've come by town hall in January and seen people trudging through the snow to pay their taxes. I wouldn't be thrilled if I came through here in a foot and a half of snow to hand over $5,000 or $6,000 and have to walk through a foot and a half of snow for it. So
yeah, understandable. And in those cases, normally it is where we're out around the clock.
Right.
Because I only have, like you were saying, it's an on-call. So if I do get all the wingmen, all the trucks are out. That means there's nobody else that is capable of doing anything other than sitting in the wing.
Right.
And yes, so, that's where town hall lacks getting the attention that it probably, you know, deserves more often.
Right. And that's where you and I mean, I've shortcomings my first year on the highway committee. It's where you and I, we need to sit down and talk and figure this out, come with better numbers so the board can understand where we're at and, you know, what we think we need and what they think we can afford. So. Okay. But as for, you know, secretary, what, I mean, without having Al here now, I'm sure some of the responsibilities have transferred to highway, correct?
Yes. We now take care of the UDIG New York program, which is part of my request of having full-time. That is a daily... it's called a scoreboard, but it's a daily list of companies, contractors, homeowners that are requesting to dig in our town and in our right of way. I still have not gotten maps yet, but that involves calling the person who put the ticket in, finding out what they're doing, finding out if we do need to go out there, and we do have now a detector and got a crash course on how to use it. But yes, and I was told by the guy who did the training that it's never easy to locate, you know, until you're really good at it. So we have that daily scoreboard, which can change from 30 to however many people want to dig. If I'm unavailable, she would be the one to go out there and meet with the contractor. We both did the training. The other thing is the training.
I don't know if you can send, isn't that a union violation? If you send her out as technically a laborer, right, to do the U-dig, that could be a union violation.
Oh, because, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
it's only a violation if they grieve it.
Right.
How often did she do that this year?
Good thing she's a laborer.
We did not get...
she's not a laborer when she's working during the day.
Well, he only gets so many hours out of the day, so if he chooses to use her for a couple hours as a laborer, that's his prerogative. Correct me, I don't think she has set hours. So if she works from 8 to 1 as a secretary, or 8 to 10 as secretary, and 11 to 1 as a laborer, I'm not going to nitpick it. Are you?
Well, there's different pay rates on there, for one thing. And, okay, we'll use that. Then why do we need a secretary those many hours? If she's working 7 hours a day and she's doing 2 or 3 hours out on the U-dig, then obviously she can get her work done in 4 hours. You're making my argument, you know. Right?
You're right.
Okay. I mean, if you want to use her as labor, you got part-time laborers. You want to use her 4 hours a day as a secretary, that's fine. And you want to use her 3 hours a day as a laborer, that's fine too. You know, but she still has to separate that on a timesheet because she has different pay rates.
Okay, so maybe her doing them is not the best reasoning.
Why wouldn't you use an MEO for that?
I would use anybody who is willing to do it.
Willing to do it, they work for us. You tell them to do it. Listen, you're going to go out, we're going to train you, and you're going to go out and do it.
Yes, Bob, semantics, I understand.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, but why wouldn't you use an MEO as opposed to a secretary?
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question.
Okay.
We haven't had to do this yet. This is all brand new. This is dig safe in your lap.
So we'll work through it.
This started in September. So I think he's doing the best he can with what he was given.
Well, what I'm hearing is there's a new need, a new employee need to take care of the responsibilities for you dig. And you don't have that staffing. So why you would immediately jump to making the secretary do that is kind of curious to me. But I think that I don't want your need to be masked, because I think it sounds like you have a legitimate extra job duty that's going to take several hours a day to take care of.
The reason for her being involved in the You Dig, You Save is that is who was Al's liaison. So she paid Al's bills and kept his books as well. So it was a natural for Al to just say, okay, here's somebody who's somewhat familiar with what I've been doing. probably the person who knows most of what's going on. It was a natural just, all right, we'll hand it off to her. I happened to be there also to learn, you know, and said, okay, I'll learn. But without knowing that you're looking at a board all day long and calling and answering, you know, and this, these are, the
but here's the thing, you know, you, we have a secretary, you have a secretary, they have to answer the phones and to take calls and to give customer service for the highway. Now you have MEOs that's, I mean, I can go get their job description, but that would fit in their job descriptions. What my question is, that, and you said you don't know, and if you don't know, I don't know either, but I don't know why you wouldn't use an MEO as opposed to the secretary. I listened to what you had to say, but she could still do the billing, make the phone calls and stuff, and then you train an MEO to say, okay, I'm gonna, you know, we're gonna train you in the use of this equipment, bring you out, you're gonna locate it, and then he makes the phone call back to, or reports back to Alicia, hey, this was all done, call the customer, and she's working out of the office. Have you tried that yet?
I was simply mentioning Alicia again and the secretary explaining how she was involved with.
Yeah, but Ken, it's not appropriate. I mean, you need someone, and you're kind of defeating your own need. You need someone in the office. She happened to do the billing for UDIG or whatever for Al, but she stayed in her office. You don't want to take that person out of the office to go out in the field.
Right.
But you still have a need to have somebody out in the field. Make an argument that you need some more part-time money to hire someone to do that, or just say, no, you can absorb it with your own employees. But the secretary is the wrong person for it. You don't ever want to take the secretary out of the office, because then who's going to answer the phone?
Right. Right.
Remember, he's had 5 weeks to come up with this.
I understand.
This has been going since January.
Yeah, we did. part-timer, you know? Because they're not doing it all, are they doing it all year round?
Depends.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're building all year round?
The day after that.
And as we've learned earlier, it's some of these are high risk. Yes, I understand. Okay.
This board is not going to turn its back on a new need that's been put on your shoulders. It's just not. But you need to come to us and say, this is what it's really costing us, and this is the best way to do it.
See if I can get with Al and get some of that information.
Does that make sense?
See what that kind of work history is.
Now, if I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but, you know, at another time, if you're saying to us that, forget about the UDIG program, I have a need for a full-time secretary, I'm not hearing that from you, but I don't want you to be saying that, but that would be the only way that you could get a full-time secretary to show us that secretarial work has increased significantly enough to warrant having a full-time person. You didn't make that argument tonight.
Because we got hung up on UDIG.
Okay.
There is money in there for an engineer, and we haven't even decided, are we going to go with, are we going to look to hire a new engineer next year? If we went to hire a new engineer, that would go away. That would fall on the engineer's, back on the engineer's lap. If we don't, then we have engineering, have a reduction in the engineering costs, but I think that with your personnel, that the first thing that I would suggest to you is to train your MEOs and how to use it, and every MEO should know how to use that, and then you assign that duty to the MEOs.
Okay. Can I get into some of the other reasons why I need a full-time secretary, and we can...
So we're on secretary now?
No.
Okay. No, well, I just want to make sure
that I,
yeah,
you know, understand.
I just want to stay on track. Right. Yeah.
So, we plan on doing a lot more training that's been done in the past. This takes a lot of setup. It takes gathering the computers. It requires emails for each individual and passwords for each individual, and the correspondence with, right now we're dealing with a safety company, I am anyway,
safety company called Lancaster that is out of Delaware. Along with that is my hope to legitimize the job to, in the future, mm-hmm. once somebody gets in, to keep them in. It's, we're talking 5 hours a week.
Extra.
No, you're talking more than that. You're talking 5 hours a week plus benefits.
Sure. Well, the benefits, yes.
Yeah, it's about at least $25,000.
It goes from, it's about nine. It's about nine.
What time? With the benefits. You got to add the benefits in there.
That's what I'm saying. With the benefits, it's about $10,000.
No, it's more than that. The benefits alone are more than that.
They would get the benefits through the union.
It's we still have to pay for it. Yeah. And then the Social Security goes up, the state retirement goes up, everything goes up. So you look at 33% on top of that with a full-time employee. You're looking at, off the top of my head, $25,000, wouldn't you say? Yeah.
Well, is that what we spent moving the clerk to full-time this year?
Whatever we, no, because by moving the clerk to full-time, we only increased the benefits because part of it
was budgeted in parks.
Was budgeted in parks, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we increased the benefits.
Yeah, you have to. They have to, well, first of all.
Right.
They
know,
have
I'm
to,
just saying.
Yeah, they have to take.
We made additional benefits. We paid
more
they
for have
benefits,
to take benefits
to make a person full time.
Yes.
We had the extra money budgeted, but we paid more for benefits.
Yes.
So there's a need, you're saying, for a full time secretary?
Yes.
I mean, do you have what came over, DigSafe came over besides. Is there anything else besides that came off Al's plate on the highway? Or is there stuff that we're not getting done? That, besides, we got DigSafe, we got training. What else is there off the top of your head?
Well, that's not getting done as far as,
Well, I mean, I'm asking because you were looking for a considerable raise. That you wanted to
and
look
again,
at,
this,
but
this is where.
But if somebody can do, if you have that person 4 or 5 more hours a day, does that take that off of you? You don't have a deputy, so you have a part-time secretary.
But here's the thing, though. He just said he was going to use them out for DigSafe, and you made the argument against having a full-time secretary. Well, if he wants to use the secretary out there for 3 hours or.
I was making light of the fact that she rode wing and helped out shoveling here this winter because
that's
the person who wants to work and she helped out.
That's an additional.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's an additional. That's a separate job. And
right.
Yeah. Okay.
She worked 9 hours a week as a laborer and she worked 24 hours a week there, she's a full time person. Doesn't matter how you cut it.
Yeah.
So then we owe her benefits.
No, because she's an on-call. She doesn't work. You have to work 35 hours every week in order to get that. And that's not what's going on. 35 hours 1 week and then 30 hours the next week is not full-time. You have to work those 35 hours a week in
right.
order to get the benefits.
Right. But if it ever did happen, the town would owe that person a full-time position.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah. But here's the thing. What I would want to see from any manager, not just Ken, if you have a need for something, if you have a need for extra personnel, you have a need for whatever, you come in and say, hey, this is what happened throughout the year. A, B, C, and D. This is why I need a secretary. And you have a whole litany of things. I couldn't get this done. This wasn't done. These are additional duties. A whole list of things, not just you prompting Ken for additional things for, you know, to try and come up with justification for the secretary. It should be a documented
I'm
thing.
I'm not prompting Ken.
But that's what
I
it sounded like. That's what it sounded like to me.
Anybody want
that
water?
You were prompting Ken. So if you go throughout the year, you go down throughout the year and you have a list of things, and he comes in to us and says, hey, you know, this is why I need a laborer. This is why I need a full-time secretary. And you can say over the course of a year, this is what happened. This is why I need them. There were additional duties. This is what wasn't getting done. This is what was getting done. Because Al was gone, we had additional stuff. You have to have some background. It should be in a document to all of us here stating the reasons why that you need these people, not just coming in, well, I need them.
Okay,
that's great.
Let me just say that I started in January, and for the first 3 months, I was wingman or I was actually driving. Then when paving came, I was at the paver dealing with the paving contractors, dealing with the residents, not in the office for that stretch of spring till June or July. Then we had South Ivy. We helped out with the park, and we had the Eden and Exeter. All of that time that I'm standing there, walking next to a machine, collecting tickets, pacifying residents, there's nobody in the office answering phones or tabulating how much stone we're using, how much money do we need for, or how much paper do we need, how much more concrete do we need. If I had the time, Bob, I would have written all these things down. And, like I said, I tried these last 2 weeks, though, when it was crunch time, I was doing this myself. So, that's, you know, I don't believe I even had the time in the office to tabulate all those things. But I have had time to realize that I'm out of the office enough to know that phones aren't getting answered. And
so when she's there, how many hours a week is she there?
In the wintertime, from 8 to 2, 30 hours.
So in the summer, she's not there from 8 to 2?
Well, that's just our winter hour. Yes, it's the same.
30 hours.
Right.
And the building or the office is open for 35 hours. So it's an extra 5 hours a week.
Right.
That someone can call from the outside or someone can come in to ask this or that. And so there's a five-hour need. And you're saying that there's a five-hour public need or bookkeeping need that is not getting taken care of.
Yes. Yeah, over the week.
Sure. I mean, I'm not saying we should spend another $25,000, but I don't want the phone not to get answered at the highway department. It seems to me.
Well, the phone doesn't get answered during the summer on Fridays because she's not a Monday through Friday person, which all the other administrative people are.
But yeah. That's something that could be discussed.
Yeah, why isn't she?
Or changed.
Yeah, she should be Monday to Friday. She should be an office employee.
The office hours she should be.
Absolutely.
Monday through Friday, regardless if you guys are there or not.
Yeah,
on Friday.
She should be a 7.5 hour
employee
or whatever it is, 7.5, 8 hour, whatever it is. She should be, that position should be an office position. That's what a secretary is. And she's doing, he or she is doing all of your bookkeeping and all of the public telephone calls. And if that requires a full-time person, I think, I wish we had this discussion, you know, leading up to tonight, but because I don't know if anybody wants to change the budget by adding $25,000 to it, but I understand the need.
I'm good with adding other 25 grand.
Well, I mean, we have ARPA money that we can look at using.
No,
you can't use it
for
that.
This has to be.
No, I'm not talking about for this.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that. You can't take something out of your budget from previous years, but you know,
if we're increasing, you know, you've increased the budget.
No, you're making.
You could change that.
This is, you're making a commitment for to spend this $25,000 forever. This is year after year, whether ARPA goes away, ARPA comes
right.
again, it goes. This is, and I am appreciating what Jeff just said. We would be doing the right thing for the citizens of our community by spending an extra $25,000 because the need is there. I think I made the case that the need is there better than Ken, though. So.
Thank you, Highway.
Just teasing you, Ken.
But we have an opening on the committee. I'm not there anymore.
I would support it.
If there's a need there, if you improve that there's a need there, I want the need to be filled. I don't have a problem with that. If we can find $25,000 so we don't have to, I know this is important to you, Bob, if we can find $25,000 in the budget somewhere to push over into that line item, I would be more comfortable with it.
I mean, for the department that controls how much of a percentage of our total budget? What are we
little over
in our
overhead?
Yeah, 55-60%.
Over 65%.
I mean, to have somebody, one person, and a part-time secretary, I think is absurd. So, of course, I'm in favor of it. But I also feel that, you know, Monday through Friday coverage, I think that takes some pressure off of you, you know, having that. And maybe adjusting hours, you know.
It is so absurd. The public does not understand. The most important thing that this highway department can do is work Monday through Thursday because it's the most efficient way. But that has no bearing on the fact that someone has a problem at 11 o'clock on Friday and they need to call somebody. And all offices are open Monday to Friday.
Yeah, last thing I hate is getting a voicemail.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
So the tree is down over the road.
You have to make that commitment, Ken. This is a Monday to Friday job.
Well, that's our. She's our employee. She's not Ken's employee. Okay. We can make that without Ken.
I don't understand what you're saying, Bob.
What's that?
I understand what Bob is saying.
Jennifer, find $25,000.
Take a look. I'll actually calculate what the actual cost is, too, and then try to find and see. I think there are other efficiencies, too, that could happen, though, as well, that we can discuss.
And then my salary. The $15,000, like I said, that was a understanding that the board had talked about this before. It had been made... $70,000 was mentioned by actually Mr. Wicks when I started, that it would be $65,000 this year and $70,000 next year, being January 1st. And he has,
well,
point to what I point
what I said, that was my goal because I thought that position was underpaid. Now, that's a goal. The rest of this board, they weren't pushing it. I was actually pushing it. They actually were against moving that up. So, you know, the blame isn't on them. And I remember what I told you. Yeah, that's my goal to move it up to 70. But I didn't know we were going to be in hyperinflation and a recession. So that's why for you to ask for a 23% raise in a year like this, that's absurd, Ken.
Right, that's why I said 5,000.
Well, you said 15.
I did, on a piece of paper. And like I had said, I thought we were going to bring things up to par or address the issues up front and then discuss what we can actually afford to do. Is that not what we've been doing?
Well, that's what I thought you and I were going to do and Jennifer when we put this together, but that's not what we did. And any increase above what is already in your budget, I'm against that. I think it's just not an appropriate time to do that. In fact, there was an increase in there of 2.5% because that's what the other people in your department got. But
no other elected official in the town got a raise at all. Nobody asked for it.
This is so ironic, because you were the one last year that convinced us all that we were so underfunded, and I think we are. And so, one way or another, we're going to have to bite the bullet and make that salary appropriate for the title. You know, if Ken were to leave tomorrow, we would be we'd have a desperate time finding someone, I think, at that salary level. So I wonder if we should just still creep in the right direction. If it's not 2.5%, maybe it's 5%. Maybe we split the difference here and just continue to raise it. And it's not so much a raise, it's just bringing the salary up to par. That's how I would present it to the public.
I do have a sheet here that has, it's from 2010 to 2020, just because you were mentioning about the average of the 80 towns in our area. Like I said, the last number at the top was 2020.
Well, thanks, Mike.
So I don't have the...
I figured he'd go backwards.
I do not have the last 2 years.
Oh, now we got it.
This is the 8 towns closest to us, not including ourselves. And of course, you know, there's the averages. And so
how many employees does the town of DeWitt have? Because that's who you're comparing yourself to.
It's not a matter of employees. That's the position.
No, it is. It's a matter of employees, because the more employees you have, the more issues you have. You have to manage that amount of employees. I can tell you how many employees the town of DeWitt has. They have 28 employees, full-time employees. You have 9.
Right.
So they're 3 times the amount of employees that they have. And when the stuff that they do, they're doing curbing, they're doing stuff in the parks. They have a whole bunch of additional duties that you don't have. So what are you suggesting that you're going to add to your plate and to your MEL's plate in order to do? Town of Clay, $95,000. He's in charge of all the parks. You're not in charge of the parks. You got Town of Van Buren. There's one town over. He's at $65,000. You're going to be over what he's going to be at. Or you're going to be about what he's going to be at. Town of Marcellus, $60,000. Okay. Town of Manly is $85,000. Again, a lot more employees.
That is true. But we're the second town in square miles.
So. But you got to look at work, Ken. It's not just miles. It's work.
I'm
how much
about people working those miles? We have 9 people. I have 9 plow routes to plow this town, and I don't have them with me, but could come up with the lane miles that we plow. 9 people, I don't understand how the amount, I understand you're saying that the money is related to the amount of people.
Well,
but
that's
at some point the money has to be for the position to be filled by somebody who's qualified, and
I've made that
there's
argument.
No qualifications to any
right.
elected official.
Right. I didn't get a book on how to, or you know what I mean. It's just been a crash course.
Mm-hmm.
But I've made that argument. That's the I made the argument you're talking about. But you're a brand new employee. You just started going through budgeting. Anybody that this town of Clay, that superintendent, his salary's $95,000 because he's probably been there almost 30 years now. He didn't start out. And when you start out in any job, you're starting out at a lower salary than somebody that's been in that position for 30 years.
We hired our comptroller. That was considerably more than a man who, when he did it full-time, was more than that. So that's not a valid statement. I mean, 3 years ago, you were fine with bringing it to 70.
Yeah.
So what changed? And it was all about, we had the discussion, it was all about the position, not the person.
That's right. The econ- and I added 2.5% in there. It's not like I'm not moving towards that.
Okay.
I still am moving towards that. But when you have to retract in the spending, it's not just unlimited spending. We have to cut back somewhere.
We spent $100,000 getting out of the comptroller debacle this year compared to what we budgeted to what we've spent.
Out of the comptroller debacle?
Yeah.
From where you
started budgeted a year ago at a part-time comptroller to where we are now, we've spent $100,000 more.
We have no choice. We have no choice.
So don't tell me that we haven't had to dig out of holes that we've spent a lot of money digging out of. So...
I don't get your point.
Okay. Don't get my point.
I don't get it.
Dave Raleigh made $70,000 a year when he left his full-time position 9 years ago.
Okay. So if he was still in that position over 9 years, just add 2.5% on that, he'd be over $85,000 now.
Right. Barely, but right.
Okay.
And you think anybody would have took the job for less than the guy that was doing it?
Because
you interviewed people that said they wouldn't do it for less than 90 or 95. You told me that in February.
85 was the number. And that's what we hired our comptroller at, 85.
Right, but a year ago when you interviewed people, what was their number?
It was between.
No, it isn't. It's not. It's about... how what you said 3 years ago isn't how you feel now. If you're going to say this goes back to clerk years ago where we split the difference. So if you're going to keep moving that way, you know,
things change. The economy's changed. Things have changed in the economy and what we need to do as far as our taxing people. I know you don't have a problem with taxing people. It's obvious because anything we talk about, you're always willing to spend. I'm on the other end.
No, I'm trying to. The house we built, we have to take care of, and I don't want the roof to fall.
And how are we not taking care of it?
I'm just trying to make sure that we're taking care of the
house. And how are we not taking care of it?
Sometimes you have to increase taxes. But
sometimes you have to increase taxes, but you don't do it.
But assessments have gone up 30% in the last 3 years, but that's okay. But now you
wait a minute.
Now
hold on a second.
The line.
What you're getting off the assessments have gone up. How does that affect us? We don't have anything.
It brings more money
in
just by the increase in assessments.
It does not.
Your tax bill didn't go up.
If you don't look at the spending if the assessments go up and you keep the spending at the same. Yeah. No. We're lowering the tax rate.
Right.
That's why the taxes don't go up. That's what I'm trying to do. The assessments went up. I'm trying to keep the tax rate down. So with my budget, a $250,000 house that's assessed today at 282 is only paying $7 more. So yes, they are going up, but it's only going up a little bit over 2%, and that's primarily for the highway. In the general fund, it's only going up 1%. So no, assessments don't necessarily bring it up. Now, if you increase spending, if you keep increasing spending, you put on a secretary, you want to buy new trucks, you want to do increase salaries like you're suggesting, yeah, that's going to increase taxes. That's going to increase what they pay. Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to do that. I'm trying to keep it down and still have a reasonable budget.
Okay.
That's where you and I differ.
So, right. I try not to say things where 3 years later somebody walks back what they said.
Sometimes you have to change. You can have the best plan in the world, and sometimes you have to modify your plan. So in other words, if we said we're going to do X, Y, and Z, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's in the economy. It doesn't matter what the taxpayers are suffering out there. So we should just continue to keep going on with our budget, and we should continue to keep spending like we had planned on spending
2 years ago or 3 years ago when the economy was really cooking, we should continue to do that, even though today the economy's in the crapper.
People were locked in their houses in 2020, so I don't know if the economy was cooking.
It would,
but okay. We got off on.
Yeah.
No. Right.
Well, the difference between you and I.
That's what we had the discussion in 2020. I think it was the first in person meeting, was almost at budget time.
No, that's not true.
I'm fine with giving Ken what you said. I'm fine with giving him $2,500 because we're trying to give you a full-time secretary here. So I'm hoping that some of your issues will come off your plate in those additional hours with her.
So what are we talking about? I lost. I don't even know what we're talking about now.
Well, I think Counselor Drossi said... I think you said you were good with trying to work toward it. So I think that meant what, 2.5%?
Well, it's already reflected.
It's right there. It's already
right
in there.
2.5%.
So I think Supervisor Wicks makes a valid point in that we're in an economy that is, it's in a tailspin, and it's frightening. Who knows what's going to happen in 2023 when, you know, there's no more ARPA money, there's no more bailouts, it's just, I don't know. What's gnawing at me is I wish this town had made a commitment to get the highway superintendent salary up on a successive basis year after year, and because it is low relative to, in notwithstanding the fact that I understand the town of Clay, he is in charge of the Parks Department, all the physical features of the Parks Department. And I suspect if Ken were to leave, not saying you're gonna leave, but you know, hypothetically, we would struggle probably to find somebody at the salary level. But maybe for 2023 we just have to, you know, just kinda tighten our belts and, you know, say, Ken, we appreciate what you're doing, but let's just get through this 2023 budget year fiasco.
Right, which is negotiated. I understand that.
It's tough. I mean, it's just really tough.
All right, man, another 2.5% by next year. It's close to 70.
Yep.
But
does anybody have any questions for me?
Are you good with the rest of your budget?
Yeah, I think Mr. Wicks is close on most of the other, most of the rest of the budget is...
Well, it's just
training fees and
no. The rest of the budget is road repairs, and it says as long as you're happy with road repairs, which I think you've got more money in there for next year for road repairs. It's not the Taj Mahal, but you know it'll. Unless we hear differently from you, it's you know you're gonna do the outstanding job you did this past year with your guys.
I mean, I did notice in yours you had $2,000 more for signs, and I'm not sure if you're replacing more signs or you know of more things we need to address, or if $10,000 instead of $12,000 is okay.
The parts are getting more expensive because of the metal. That's all. Signs are getting more expensive.
So your increase was more based on the cost of
The sign. Okay. And yes, we have. Our sign program is quite lacking. We have a lot of signs that are not DOT reflective. We have a lot of signs that are not in compliance with the breakaway device on our signs. Obviously, like I said, this year I got a lot done with the signs, but there's still a lot that needs to be done. That's what that was for.
I mean, I don't think in the past we've ever come close. 1 year looks like we came close to $10,000. Do you know where you're at this year or no? Okay.
No, I don't. And oddly enough, Radisson returned all of the signposts and breakaways, so we made out there.
Are they using breakaways?
Nope. No, they decided not to.
Isn't that against
they have to?
Code or highway law or whatever about the breakaway signs?
It all depends on how you read it.
Well, didn't our attorney tell them that they had to?
I did not hear what Tony told Lynn. I just know that after that conversation, I didn't receive any more calls about signs. But according to the county, anytime a car can go off the road anywhere, regardless of speed, and hit a sign, that there needs to be a breakaway on that so that if it doesn't come through the windshield, it doesn't fly in on impact. There's a whole bunch of reasons why.
So why would we settle for that? Wasn't that in the contract with them and us?
Off the top of my head, that was supposed to be between the highway superintendent and Radisson. And what was in there was they had to talk to the highway superintendent, and any signs they put up were supposed to meet the highway superintendent's criteria.
Yeah, if it doesn't meet your criteria, I'd get Tony to tell them to do a cease and desist and tell them that they got to redo them.
Well,
got to be done right.
Unless.
Because if I hit a pole and it's not done right, and.
Well, let's find
now
out.
We got issues.
Well, I know we asked Tony to look into it. And I don't think Tony ever got back to us about. Because I believe their lawyer.
So, Kevin, can you send Tony an email?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll ask him.
I do not. Like I said, I don't know what they talked about. I brought up the fact that they needed breakaways and.
So do they don't meet your criteria.
Lynn told me that her lawyers said that because it's aluminum and they could they were okay.
No, it's what our lawyer says, not what their lawyer says.
Right. But again, I don't know what Tony said or whatever it was, flaky the situation.
Kevin will find out.
And they're still there.
We'll find out by Thursday.
Still putting up their signs.
And they're returning our posts and our breakaways.
Originally with replacing the Edison was
which they're going to need back. Well, we can sell them back to
you. Sounds like I left the room
a
long time. You're telling me that Radisson is putting up signs that are not per our specs?
Yes.
You should have sent them a cease and desist note immediately or under Supervisor Woods's absence.
This was well in advance of me.
Okay, but this is the first I am hearing. This, you know, I was privy to the conversation that Radisson prevailed and got the signs that they wanted in terms of the brown background.
Changed them to brown.
Whatever. I don't care. But they better be per highway department specs or they all get taken out tomorrow. And the fact that I'm just giving you, Ken, do not settle for anything less than that. We can be nice to Lintan or anybody we want to be nice, that we have to be nice to. But if they're not going to play by the rules, they have to stop.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm hearing what just heard.
Were you in the original meeting?
No, that
they,
was Jerry.
No, I was not.
Well, I mean, at any point
but
this year.
But the minute you found out that they were putting up the wrong kind of signs, for your understanding, now maybe you're wrong. Maybe Tony Rivasigno said it's no
problem. Right, right. Yeah, that's
right.
What he's.
Kevin's
going to look into it.
Yeah, so find out.
We had asked.
This is the kind of stuff that if you're right, we're talking about a multi-million dollar lawsuit if somebody gets hurt with one of those signs. And we approved it.
Yeah.
That's not good. So.
That's all. That, you know, we took care of the. To make sure that they could put up the signs.
Yeah.
Then it was between, I know it wasn't you, it was between Jerry, but, you know, in that contract, it specifically states that they get together with the highway superintendent because you're the one that's responsible for the roads.
So this can't wait.
We'll find out by Thursday. He'll reach out.
I'll reach out.
We'll find
out by Thursday. We had mentioned it to Tony in August, I think, when I noticed Radisson replacing signs, and I never followed up with Tony. To find out, because he said he was going to reach out to Radisson, to the lawyer, because it was, they're fine to state standards. so Tony was going to say, well, when I told Tony they're not breakaways, then Tony said, well, that's probably not right. I never heard back from Tony, but I didn't ask him either. I will find out.
All right.
Wow.
I'm not going to leave the room again. So, is that it? Are you okay?
Here.
Mm-hmm. So, let's just recap. We're not increasing the budget. We're just trying to find $25,000 in order to have a full-time secretary.
And
that's how I heard it.
And Ken is going to come back in a day or two or three after talking to Kevin and Jeff and come up with a plan for what equipment he actually is going to buy,
right,
with the dollar amount that you've got.
Okay. Because as long as we're not increasing, we don't have to take a vote on it.
Right.
So, but what happens if you can't find $25,000? Then what happens? I just want to make sure that we play devil's advocate here, you know, that we have all of our bases covered. The goal is to try to find the $25,000.
Oh, we can find it.
It's there.
Okay.
We can find it.
It's going to come out of the
fund
balance.
Money
it's going
to
come out of the
about
fund balance.
Like,
you good with that, Ken? All
right.
Priority.
I'm good.
That's
that is something. It's priorities.
Great.
Hey, Chili. Turns down. Well, you got to turn down at 4:30 or 5.
I got to look. Well, in the summertime, it gets so hot when this AC shuts off.
5-1, end of the 7th.
Okay,
Yankees are up.
That's it.
Is there? I mean, I sent the email out. I just didn't know if anybody wanted to discuss salaries or, you know, the non-union people. If you're fine with what's budgeted, I'm not going to argue it. I just wanted to make sure.
There's a union raise, right?
She's talking about non-union.
Okay, so what did we do?
It's two people.
Two people.
Kevin and Jennifer.
Kevin and Jennifer.
We're good with you, Jennifer.
Okay.
Should we be doing that? Hold on. Should we be doing that?
That's got to be turned off.
Yeah, well,
right.
Yeah, we're going into executive session.
I just didn't want to jump in here. Do you want to close this work session? Or,
yeah, let's.
Or have a.
Well, I need a motion to go into executive session at 6:51.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. We're in an
executive
session.
All right.
See you, Ken. Bye.
Let me get out of here.
Okay. Take your time.
Well, you wanted to go home, man.